Okay, this afternoon I'd like to read from the Epistle of Philippians. This year's series. Today I'd like to read chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Amen. The Word of God. This is the last phrase of chapter 1, and so this is kind of summary, and also Paul wants to stress, wants to know the Philippians. It's a very important point, the first part of this his letter. Number one, the weather happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul always suggests or encourages in his letters, you know, walk in Christ or walk as the saints of Christ. But he, most of the letters, he used walk, W-A-L-K. But in this letter, he used conduct. Conduct is so as the Bible scholars are, you know, wondering why use conduct instead of walk in this epistle, and nobody knows the perfect answer, but it's kind of conduct is kind of strong nuance more than walk, just walk. Your conduct is if you live like this or you move like this and you talk like that, it's the whole set of what you should do. Conduct. So, and Paul said, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So when I read this scripture, I thought, "Oh wow, how did I conduct myself as in a manner worthy of gospel of Christ?" And also, what is the worthy of the gospel of Christ means? The worthy is value, you know. So what is the value of the gospel of Christ? But how we can measure the value of the gospel of Christ? Do you know a famous TV show in Japan, Nan Demo Kanteda? She knows. Have you ever seen? Yeah, some Japanese knows. A very long and famous TV show. That is some bring their pictures, potteries, and ask the experts to evaluate how much is that, is it genuine or fake, you know. It's very unique, you know, a funny show, because some old Japanese shuji, you know, cost like a million. Somebody, something's like a thousand yen or so, you know. But we don't know. But after the experts put the price on the shuji or a picture of pottery, it looks different. Yeah, yeah. So that is our custom, you know. We evaluate the thing according to the price, right? Yeah, if it's so expensive, so valuable. But this is not so expensive, it's not that valuable. But how about the value of gospel of Christ? Yeah. How could we evaluate? Yeah. How much is that? We don't know. We don't know. And this is actually priceless. Yeah. Nobody can evaluate the worthy or the value of the gospel of Christ, because the value of gospel of Christ is the value of Christ's life, right? Yeah. The Son of Man's life is the value of the gospel of Christ. Yeah. So who can put the name tag on the cross? Yeah. It's priceless. Yeah. But Paul said, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So how should I? It's priceless value, right? Yeah. My life is enough to fit the value of the gospel of Christ? Maybe no. That's far, way high value. My life is so cheap. Yeah. Sometimes we reduce the price of Jesus Christ's cross. Yeah. But this is a good picture, you know, because we think, like I said, like Japanese show, you know, we think the value is the cost, the price. So, of course, the gospel of Christ is priceless. It's so expensive. Nobody can pay. But if it's priceless, it's not countable. But we have to think about, like Paul said, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Worthy of the gospel of Christ. So if we read like this, we can have a little bit idea of why Paul used conduct, not walk. Yeah. Conduct yourself. If you think the worthy of gospel of Christ, you should not do that. You should not say that. It's not the worthy of the gospel of Christ. You have to behave yourself because you are your life was bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like we sung, right? Yeah, the forgiveness is bought with the price of blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So today, here, we, this week, this whole life is why we are here, you know, why we can live, because Jesus died for us. So we have to conduct ourselves, you know, or we have to think like that. Yeah. So is this what I'm doing, is the worthy of the gospel of Christ? Or so Paul suggests us, you know, always we have to think about worthy, the value of gospel of Christ. It's a very important factor, what we think. But the practically, how could we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of gospel of Christ? Are there any rules? What do you think? You know, is there any rule books or like manuals? In a manner worthy of gospel Christ? Yeah, I think the Sermon of the Mount is the one of the best rule book for us. You know, conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of gospel of Christ. Because Jesus said, you know, you have to be the light of the world, you have to be the salt of the earth. So the Matthew chapter 5-7, it's one of the good text or good rule books for us to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So we have to read Sermon on the Mount. Probably every day. Probably when we're wondering, how should we react, how we should we conduct, how we should we behave, how should we have the relationship, how would you say in a manner worthy of gospel Christ? How should we do that? Okay, let's read the whole Bible, of course, but it's too long. So if you do not have enough time, read the Sermon on the Mount. Then Paul said, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. So Philippians are fighting, contending, yeah, fighting. To whom? Paul doesn't say who oppose the Philippians, who are their opponents. Probably one of the people who oppose the Philippians are Jews, the Jews. When you read the Acts, after Paul visited Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, he found the synagogue, and he preached a couple days, but the Jews opposed Paul. That is Acts somewhere. Please read. But not the Jews, not only Jews, but others, Romans, others, and they, like Paul, he was in captured, was in jail because he claimed to the Caesar. And some Romans persecuting the Christians in that time. So in the first century, wherever or whenever they start the church, they preach, there are many of the people oppose them. So that's a natural thing. Because they claim Jesus is alive. If you believe in him, you have everlasting life. And he is God. Still, he is alive and he's God. In Roman era, everybody thinks Caesar is the God. Yeah. Caesar is the God. If you say Caesar is not God, everybody said, shh, you'll be killed. Yeah. But the Christians, they say, Jesus is the only God, not Caesar, Jesus. So they were persecuted and many people are killed. Martin. But in this time, in this century, in Japan, even if we say Jesus is the only God, we're never opposed. We're never persecuted. Yeah. Is this good? I don't think it's not good. But in that time, so Paul said, wherever and whenever you spread the gospel, you'll be opposed. That's natural. Because you are fighting against the power of the world, the Satan. So if we proclaim the gospel, if we do not persecute it, we do not fight against the Satans. Satans are laughing. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Nobody hears your message. Nobody believes what you're saying. Yeah. Maybe we need more power, you know. Yeah. We have to frighten the Satan. Yeah. Wow. This guy's so powerful. So I want to be persecuted. Yeah. But in the time they proclaim the gospel, and they have the risk of death. So Paul said, I know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. People are frightening you. If you proclaim the gospel, you'll be captured, you'll be dead. But the people in Philippi, they did not frighten. Okay, yeah, we're okay. Yeah. Captured us. Yeah. Put us in a jail. Yeah. Because our master, Paul, they're in the jail. Yeah. So Paul said, whether I come and see you or only hear about you, my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. Philippians did not fight just one man alone. They did not fight. They fought together. They fought as church, one church. So he said, contending as one man. This is very important. Very important. This is the purpose of the church. We do not contend by ourselves. Not just like you. Not just yourself. But ourselves, the church. We fight, we contend as one man. As one man. That's why we share our burdens. Right? Yeah. Of course, we have different, like we read later, we have suffered in different ways. We have trials. But we fight together. Yeah. We are not alone. We are one man, one church. We are body of Jesus Christ. That's why we opposed, we never frightened. Because we are not alone. This church, and church, your country's church, and your friends, we have a big family. And one man. And this is a sign to them they will be destroyed. They, those who oppose them, they are destroyed because we fight one man. They were not one man. Yeah. We are one. And you will be saved, and that by God. And finally, this is very important. And this is what Paul wants to stress in this context. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. I don't want to listen to this message. How about you? It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Oh, no, I don't want to suffer. Everyone, yeah. Oh, please, God, don't put us in suffering. But Paul said, God said to us, on behalf of Christ, not only by believing on him, but also to suffer for him. Suffer for him. This is important. We suffer not for us. We suffer for him. Right? He gave his life for us. Right? He died for us. His suffering? Priceless. Yeah. If you compare how severe our suffer and his suffering, can you compare? No. Son of God became the human being and went to the Calvary and died on the cross. That's the suffering. Our suffering, like the mustard seed. Small one. But even small one, we suffer. That's true. Yes. Yeah. Suddenly, or a long term, sometimes long, lifelong suffering. Life of suffering. But remember, we suffer for him. We suffer for him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel for the Christians. We believe on him and we suffer for him. Of course, our suffering is not to redeem our sins. You know, our sins are redeemed perfectly, 100%, by the blood of God. But when we suffer, we have a little bit feeling of what Jesus felt. Yeah. That's Paul felt. Of course, he said, "I'm joyful. I'm so joyful in Philippians. You know, he always used joyful. You know, I joy. But his true feeling is not happy. Yeah. He suffered. Yeah, he was beaten, captured, sometimes starved." Not easy situation. But he said, since you're going to through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Yes, Paul is in suffer. He suffered. But he said, it has been granted to you. In Greek, in NIV, translated into it has been granted. But in Greek, let me see. Yeah. Ekariste. It's like a charis means grace, right? So this is the grace gift. Grace gift. Our suffering is the grace gift. Yeah. God gives us suffering as a grace. Yeah, and when we think grace is a good things. Yeah. Good things, happy things. Yeah. But Paul said suffering is also the grace. God allow us to suffer for Christ. Not the grace. It's grace. So when you feel suffering, we have to pray, Lord. Usually we pray, Lord, remove this suffering. You know, let this suffering go through fast as possible. But we should pray, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the suffer, because this is a grace, and this is a suffer for Christ. Thank you, Lord. You're supposed to pray that. It's not easy. No, I know, it's not easy. But God knows everything. He has his own plan for every single of us. We don't know the end. Only he knows. And he gives us suffer without any reason? No. He has reason. He has plan. Like Jesus did. So we praise our God. And we say, thank you for your suffering. So today I read Philippians 1:27-30. The point one is conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We always think about the value that God spent for us. And number two, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. We not fight just singles ourselves. We fight together, one man. And finally, we have suffering for Christ. And this is the message from Paul. This is a message from God to us this afternoon. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the message from the Philippians. Lord, we do not know the price, the value of the gospel of Christ. But we have to imagine the value, the worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then we have to conduct ourselves. The manner what are we doing is worthy, is fit for the value. Lord, also we have fight. But we do not fight by ourselves, but we fight together as one man, that we fight together. And Lord, thank you that you allow us to believe on Christ, but also you allow us to suffer for him. Lord, we know that you know everything and you do not put us suffer without any reason. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.